Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as, on this second Sunday of Advent, we consider the theme, Faith and Repentance. But first, let's pray. O God of timeless grace, you fill us with joyful expectation. Would you make us ready for the message that prepares the way, that with an upright heart and holy joy, we may eagerly await the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. There are two readings for the second Sunday of Advent, and we will deal with them as we go through this message. They are both from the NIV. The first reading is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Just today, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Today, as I said, our theme is faith and repentance, and this emerges quite powerfully in our gospel reading as John the Baptist appeared in the tradition of the great prophets of Israel, preaching repentance and reform to the people of Israel. This is made clear in the description of John in verse 4, which is reminiscent of the description of the prophet Elijah from 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 8. In this reading, John directed a particularly sharp call to repentance to the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were parties within the Jewish community of the first century. They had come to see for themselves what John was doing. When people responded to his message, their conversion was marked by a baptism of repentance. It is thought that there were other groups during this period who may have practiced ritual washings for similar purposes. But John's baptism was different from any other, since the gospel accounts describe his ministry as sent by God. Luke chapter 3 verse 2 says that the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. From there, he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It was therefore a significant ministry prior to the ministry of Jesus, launched by God's words coming to John as he tarried in the desert. John's baptism may be understood as an anticipation of Christian baptism, but not the same. In verse 11, John himself alluded to the difference between his baptism and the one yet to come, administered by Jesus. He said, I am baptizing you with water for repentance. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John was also very clear that he saw himself as a servant and under the authority of the Messiah, whom he alluded to. For he stated that, The one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. What follows after our reading is the baptism of Jesus by John, an event that is confirmed in all four of the Gospels and was the start of Jesus' public ministry. Thus, John's preaching of the coming of Jesus is a key theme of the Advent season, And because his message prepared the way for Jesus in the first century, we too are called to prepare ourselves for Jesus' coming, not so much for Christmas Day, but for the return of Jesus as promised in Scripture. We respond to John's message by being mindful of the need to constantly reform our lives through Scripture by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are also called to be prophets of Christ, who announce by our lives, as John did, the coming of the Lord through our faith and witness. And this then brings us to our second reading in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 10, which describes the Messiah's origin, his work, as well as the results of his ministry. Verse 1 begins, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion, and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." With regard to the Messiah's origin, verse 1 says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit." Now, Jesse was the name of King David's father, and his name had become synonymous with King David or the house of David, for in other places David is referred to as the son of Jesse. That's 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 16. Or David, the son of Jesse. You can find that in Psalm 72, verse 20. So more specifically, we're talking about the royal family of David, or the Davidic dynasty, with whom God had covenanted in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, saying, "Your throne shall be established forever." Thus, the term stump of Jesse is a metaphor for the remnant of the royal family of David. And in our text, the reality was that the kingly line was all but eliminated by the invasions and deportations of the Babylonians. The shoot, therefore, is a metaphor for the restoration of the line of David. And we know that the word "forever" in the covenant promised to David is resolved when we understand that the one who would sit on the throne of David forever is God's Messiah. The tender shoot, for that is what it is, was predicted to grow from the stump of Jesse. Now the Jews knew about the Messiah sitting on the throne of David forever, and even in this passage, but not how it would come to pass, especially when we read the account in Luke chapter 1, verse 32 to 33, where the angel announces God's plans to Mary. He says to her, "The child, Jesus, will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So the idea is not simply a Christian twist, but the long-expected deliverer of Israel was seen in our Isaiah reading. Moreover, in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, the genealogy of Jesus is written, and there we find his link to David as a physical descendant. But now let's talk a bit about the characteristics and work of this tender shoot, the Messiah, who will come from the stump of Jesse, or the stump of the house of David. The first thing is that verse 2 says that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. There is nothing that he will do without the Spirit of God being upon him. This is in line with Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 2, where it says of God's anointed one, the Messiah, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we find the Messiah will have spiritual gifts in their fullness. Three are specifically mentioned here in Isaiah 11. First is the spirit of wisdom and understanding for government. The second is the spirit of counsel and power for dealing with the wicked. The third is the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord to provide leadership to humanity and his creation. The term "the fear of the Lord" might seem odd, since this is all spoken with reference to the Messiah. Yet verse 3 says he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and the implication is that the fear of the Lord is fragrant to him. It is pleasant and desirable to him. His leadership, all his actions, would be tempered and guided by the fear of the Lord. And verses 3 to 5 indicate a messianic king who will rule perfectly in justice and with great love. As we draw to a close then, our texts all point to Jesus and his first advent, which we know as the Incarnation. And through the cross, these blessings and provisions are now but not fully realized. For this reason, we look to the future when Christ will return and finally draw creation to himself and make all things new. This is confirmed in the verses that follow to verse 10. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, the young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, meaning Christ, will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Ours, then, is to continue by faith, with expectation, and with some introspection. To remember that from time to time there will be the need to repent of our attitudes, words, and deeds, since the kingdom of heaven is near and with us. And then to be faithful because God is faithful. For he is a covenant-keeping God, and his promises are sure. And so may God help us. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful Father, in Scripture we find the promises of a Savior of the world described so beautifully, such deep assurance of salvation and justice and a world at one with you and each other, as it was in the beginning. In this Christmas time, we rejoice in the birth of a Savior, and we rejoice at the promise of his coming again. Help us to live well for you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.